When there is something to be done, they never hesitate to volunteer to work. Becoming a Federationist has truly been a blessing for me and to our monastery. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we ask your blessing on all the officers of the National Federation of the Blind, especially President Mark Riccobono and all of his associates. At this time, we ask you to grant special blessings to all of the leadership of the New Jersey affiliate, President Joe Ruffalo, Vice Presidents Linda Melendez and Mary Jo Partica, Secretary Ellen Sullivan, Treasurer Andrew Rees, Board Members Anne-Marie Cook, Linda DeBardinis. Jane Degenshine, Mary Fernandez, Lee Gaspa, and Zoraida Krell. Lord, we ask you to bless all of the various chapter presidents and board members and all of the federations of New Jersey and throughout the country. We ask you also to bless all who have worked so hard in organizing and conducting this convention, all of the speakers and presenters, and we ask that you bless the food we are about to receive and to bless all those who have prepared it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father Max. Let's give it up for Father Max. How's everybody doing out there? Are you having a good convention? I really can't hear you up here. Are you having a good convention? The worst thing about going last as Master of Ceremonies is that between Joe and David and now the Father, everybody's taking my jokes. But I do have a couple left. There was a couple, speak back to Father, right? That was married, they were having a very rough time. And they weren't talking to each other. And they took a ride, and they weren't talking, and they saw a mule. And the husband said to the wife, is that a relative of yours? And she said, only through marriage. I had a lot more, but like I said, they took them all. So this is the highlight of our convention always, our banquet. And we are very excited about this great convention. This is also a great time of year. Monday is Veterans Day. And we want to give a great hand to all our veterans, including our president, Joe Ruffalo. It's a very special time for me too. Both my mother and father were veterans, and I'll be at the Jersey Shore this week, visiting the cemetery on Monday for that reason. Also, 2 weeks, Liz, when it comes to 2 weeks, I know we're having turkey tonight. I don't understand what a president Ruffalo we're having turkey for dinner. Even David said, where's the raviolis? But whatever. But whatever, we have a lot to be thankful for, and we have to remember that. You know, there's an acronym called YOLO. Does anybody know what that stands for?
You only live once.
Well, I'm going to tell you that you're wrong. You don't live once. Unfortunately, you die once, and we're all going to go. But you live every day. And in the Federation, we have to remember that. That when we wake up and have a pulse, we get up and we do what we need to do, and we live every day to its fullest. So when you hear that you only live once, tell them, no, that's not right. We live every day in this Federation. Right? And we have Thanksgiving coming up, and we have a lot to be thankful for. And then after that, what comes the month after that? Christmas! And Christmas is about what? Giving, right? So when we start doing the altar tonight, don't forget to give. And I know Jane's sitting here with David, so that's going to be a hot table right here to my left. Jane, you got a phone call, so I don't know what that's about. But anyway, let's enjoy your salad, let's enjoy your lunch, your dinner. And we'll talk to you in a few of them. I want to see who was with me.
I didn't think it was
The president has asked me to tell you there is a cash bar at the back of the room, and it will stay open until about 8:15 tonight once we go live streaming. That's it for the booth. Until we start the program, there is a cash bar here in the room if you are interested.
Thank you.
So David said I should tell another joke. No? Come on.
Come on, Joe.
So these four guys are playing golf. And the guy's about to tee off on the 10th hole. And there's a funeral procession coming down the road. And he takes his hat off and he puts it by his heart. And the other three guys say, we didn't know you had that in you. Great travel and promotion federation, all that kind of stuff. Really nice. get the word out. Dr. Davis talked about our city last week, wasn't so many. We had over 200 people. We had people from 29 states here in New Jersey representing that. At our last conference, and we also got many platforms that we partnered with our students division. And we had four students there that learned what Randolph Shepherd was all about. And we're going to continue that relationship and make that stronger. And we're excited about that. In our last conference next year, business leadership and superior training is what BLAST stands for. So that we'll be in Chicago. That'll be Higher Regency downtown, April 17th. We have $49 to get that kind of rate downtown in Chicago for that time of year doing something special. But one of the great things about being a president of an organization that travels so much, you go to Hawaii, and the great thing in Hawaii is they greet you with aloha, mahalo, so sweet, so nice, right? And I was just in Texas. What do they say in Texas? Howdy! And then you come back to New Jersey, what do you say? Forget about it. How are you? The economy could be better. I mean, just a month, they just hired three new judges here in New Jersey. I don't even know it. Your growth is a thing.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Power to phone, please. Door price, go ahead, hurry up.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just to give everybody a heads up that the can't tell me about 12 minutes.
Thank you.
State of Pennsylvania, Lynn Heights. And our first vice president, Linda Melinda, is here.
Yes.
The highlight of every convention is our banquet speech from our national rep. It is an honor and pleasure for me to introduce our national rep, Sean Calloway, our president from Washington, D.C., who came up to be with us this weekend.
Melendez.
Hosted myself,
I need a table
DC affiliate, Arizona,
the table
Tennessee, and Hawaii. We hosted the national convention a few years ago. And so John Prince called me and said, look, Sean, you need to call Nikki if you want some refreshments for the hospitality room. And I tell you, that's one less thing I had to worry about. So I got a letter for John to give to Nikki, and I'm going to tell you, he and the blind merchant hooked us up. And that was one full hospitality room with some nice goodies, and I was one less stressed person. But Nikki has helped out a lot of people, quite honestly, so not just myself. So I just want to acknowledge him for all his hard work. I want to get to my dear friend Joe Ruffalo.
Yeah.
We had zero divisions. We had maybe 40 people. And I was trying to figure out how am I going to build this affiliate. And I remember talking to someone and expressing these feelings I had. They said, you need to look up north. I said, so where up north? He said, you need to look at the Jersey affiliate. That affiliate got it going on. So I said, well, who's the president? He said, Joe Ruffalo. So I contacted Joe by email, and I'm going to tell you, he responded quickly. But he does this with everyone, all affiliate presidents, anyone who needs help, he's always there. But I tell you one thing, Joe and I worked together. We were charged by President Rick Abono to work on a particular division together. And I took a seat back, and I watched Joe work. He led with compassion. He led with honesty. We had a serious situation at our national convention where we were running elections. And I mean, Joe was on fire. I mean, he handled those elections. I'm telling you, it was very contentious. Very contentious. But like a man, he handled it. And he did what he had to do. And from that point on, I mean, even before then, I've always admired Joe. He
is a good piles of books.
But working with him, it was just amazing. And Joe, I respect you quite highly, my friend. I don't know if you know that. When you told me you were stepping down, wasn't a shocker to me after 20-something years, right? But sometimes good things must come to an end. But when you can end on your own terms, that's even better. And Joe had made a statement that I'm going to get on to my speech. he made a speech, a statement saying basically he doesn't know how certain presidents can get along, move along, and do the work without their spouse. Right? That's a very, I mean, being an affiliate president is a lot of work. And Joe has done a lot of work as an affiliate, but he would not be able to do the work he's done without you. I want to deliver a message before I get my message, which is one about an organization that was found but never lost, and the Breakfast Club. Back in 1990, I was a young man trying to find himself. About to graduate from high school, and very frustrated with how things were going on where I was living. I was living in an area called Prince George, which is outside of Washington, D.C. During that time, and you can look it up yourself, there was a bad time of killing of African-American men, right? Because of the drug trade that was going on, the crack epidemic hit D.C. area pretty bad. And it didn't matter. You didn't have to deal drugs, right, to get shot. You just didn't. You could be walking down the street. You were a target, especially if you had on something nice or a nice coat. And this was very unsettling to me. So I made up my mind to go to college, but I decided to go to college down south. So I packed my bags and headed on down to South Carolina State University and started my college career. But during my sophomore year, I was in my dorm room. The guy came into my dorm room and the gun went off. And it hit me in the jump. It caused me to be blind for the rest of my life. So the very reason why I went down south, I was coming back home, right? To avoid something like that. So for a few years, I was really depressed. Just unnerving. Just didn't know what to do with my life. So finally, after a couple years, I received some help from the Department of Rehabilitation Services in Maryland. And they would come out to my house and provide, you know, some rehab services, and teach me how to walk around my neighborhood. This seemed unfulfilling to me. And the counselor knew that. So she said, Sean, I'm going to send you away. Right, I want to give you an opportunity to go away to a place called the Maryland Rehabilitation Center. Now, it's called Workforce Technology Center now, which is in Baltimore, Maryland. Right, but I said, you know what? It beats being here, right? Because I need to do something with my life. Nothing's going on. I got a younger brother and sister I need to be a better example for. So I'm going to go ahead and go. So when I get there, I'm greeted by a blind man named Lou Smith. So Lou says, I'm going to be the one who's going to teach you your independent living skills. And so when he says this, and him being blind, I'm like, So our first assignment was to go and do an O&M session down the block. So we're walking down the block. So he said, Sean, we're going to cross this street. So I'm looking at him and basically saying to myself, how the hell is this going to go? So I'm thinking as the cars go by,
something to put up to where it's pushing you on this. Just kind of.
If I do this, if we walk across the street, he's in the inside of me. So if a car comes, it will get him first. But when I walked across that street finally with him,
what's up?
It was the most exhilarating feeling one man should have.
Dealing with an emergency. Be up in bed.
At that point, I decided I wanted to go back to college.
Huh? What's the matter?
But I also decided at that point I did not want to deal with any blind organization.
Be up in bed.
Which, if by the way, was one of my biggest mistakes I ever made at that time. So I went back to college, got an associate degree from Essex Community College in Essex, Maryland. Decided to transfer to University of Maryland at College Park. And during my first year, you know, I was at College Park. I was standing outside of one of my classes. You know, woman came up to me. She said, "Evie, have you heard of the National Federation of the Blind?" Can't say I have, but tell me about it. She said, "Well, we help people. We do things." I said, "Okay.
I don't know what's going on.
Tell me when was your organization founded?" I think 50 something. I said, "Okay." See, I tell this to people all the time. When you don't know your history of your organization, you lose me right there. You lose me off the break. I said, "Okay, look, I'm going to do this. You just give me your number and I'll call you." Right. So I went back to my dorm and there was another blind gentleman who actually stayed in my dorm. And I said, "Pete, have you heard of the National Federation of the Blind?" He said, "Yeah, you don't want to deal with them." He said, "Them some radical folks." That's exactly what he said. "Yep. You know, that's not you, Sean." I said, "Okay, fine." So, second mistake I made, listening to somebody, listening to Pete, right? So, you know, going on to grad school, I had a lot of trials and tribulations.
Nobody
in grad school,
touching.
Right? One of the biggest was, I was a social work student, by the way. So we had to do what we call field practice, right? And so I had to go on a field practice at a nursing home, right? But I went to this nursing home with a typing speech. Okay, now for those of you who are tech savvy, a typing speech is nothing more than a word processor. You need more than a word processor to be a social worker. You need the whole kabang, right? That's all I had. And I was doing miserable with this type of speech because I did not understand what we call reasonable accommodations, right? Neither did the nursing home and neither did the school I attended. So I struggled big time. Now, if I were a federationist at the time, I don't think I would have had any struggles, quite honestly. I'd have made a phone call and hopefully things would have been straightened out. But no, I struggled big time. And so when I did my practicum and basically told me, "Look, I gotta leave this nursing home because it's not working here." I ended up going to a center called the Blind and Aged in Washington, D.C. And I ran into a woman after introducing myself to the staff. A woman came up to me and she said, "Excuse me, sir. Have you heard of the National Federation of the Blind?" I said, "Yeah, I have, but never got a full story, but will you enlighten me?" She said, "Well, my name is Linda Black, and I'm the president of the Greater Washington, D.C. chapter, and I would like to invite you to a meeting." I said, "Okay, well," I gave her my number, and for 8 years she called, and I never showed up to her. But keep this in mind, she continued to call.
Wow.
Which is another lesson for you all. If the person does not say, "Don't call me no more," you continue to recruit them. Because you don't know what you're going to get. Right? So, after graduating from grad school, I remember in 2002, I decided to leave my job with Catholic Charities as a social worker. I'm working at the homeless shelter. And so I got an opportunity, a job interview with the Department of Behavioral Health. And they asked me some questions about my ability to do my job. And so I explained to them. So they said, you know, what I can do and what I can't do, all that other stuff. But she said, "Well, what we're going to do, we're going to give you an assistant." And I knew right there, something didn't sound right about that, right? But the money was talking. So I took the money. I mean, that's a $7,000 raise. I'll deal with an assistant. All day. But quite honestly, this became a problem because she became a crutch, right? An enabler. I didn't do anything for myself, right? She would go out, get my lunch. If I say, take my notes, send my emails, you know, it looked beautiful, but something just wasn't right. And I could be honest, as time went on, I noticed that my skills were dwindling, like my O&M skills, my AT skills. That it was getting worse and worse because of this assistant. Now, luckily, during this time, I met my beautiful wife, LaTanya.
Right.
And so, as we started to move along in our relationship, I decided, you know, I want to get married. I want to marry her.
All right.
So I got married. We got married in 2005. Right? So, but after marriage, you know, there are questions that pop up. Now, those questions are, one of the main questions was, when are you going to have children? Right? But when I heard this question, I would always get nervous. I would always get discombobulated, as they say, right? Because I had fear of being a blind parent. I had these fears of being, I just felt that I didn't have the ability, excuse me, to be a blind parent. So as the years went on, and I would say for 3 or 4 years, having these feelings, having dwindling AT skills, knowing them skills. And my wife made a great point today, if y'all heard her speak, about how when we got together, she made a statement on how I had it made, right? In terms of kicking my feet back and letting her do all the work, right? But this was a problem, right? Because when you don't contribute to the home, you know, it can get unsettling. So I'll never forget, I talked to a buddy of mine, and I was telling him my issue. He said, look, Sean, are you familiar with any blind groups? So I said, well, yeah, this woman named Linda Black continued to call me and invite me to a National Federation of the Blind meeting. But she said, you know, he said, you know what, you need to go. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to go. So when I went to this meeting, the first meeting was at, I'll forget, Campbell Heights Senior Center. I walked in the door, the assistance of Metro Access, which is paratransit. I read it. The first person I ran into was a woman, blind woman, with 2 children, taking them to the bathroom. I was like, wow. So then I go back into the meeting room, and I hear 2 federations talking about emailing one another. I'm like, damn, what is this about? And then the keynote speaker was a woman from, and I forget what federal agency, but she was talking about how they set up accommodations for blind people to work independently within the federal government. I'm like, man, what the hell have I been missing? So that day, I joined. What hit me the fire under me the most was the advocacy, right? That's what I love the most, hearing about the advocacy that the organization has done over the years and they were doing in D.C. And that really lit my fire to the point. I hit the ground running. I joined in 2009 and I got a call maybe a year later from the nominations committee chair. And she said, would you like to join the board? I said, yeah, give me a board seat. It don't matter to me. She said, well, no, I'm not asking you for the board seat. I'm asking you to be president of the chapter. I said, well, this just what? I kind of looked at my phone like, really? They're like, yeah. We want you to be the president. So I took the job, right? I said, okay, so everything was going well. And so one day I was summoned to the home of one Don Galloway. Don Galloway was the president of the D.C. affiliate at the time. And he said, you know what, Sean, I've been watching you. And he said, I think you have the ability to be for the president. Now, at this time, I said, this didn't make sense to me because from what I've been reading, a lot of affiliate presidents, they stay in their position a long time. Yeah. So, but the part about it was that it was this, and I didn't know until later on, that Don was dying. He was dying of cancer. He was dying of cancer. And so for him to call me, well, no, Joe's fine. But Don was dying, right? And it was heartbreaking to see, in a sense, a man who had given so much deteriorate like that. But when he tapped me to basically be the president of the affiliate after 2 years, only being in the organization for 2 years, it was an honor, right? It was a big honor for this man to see this much potential in me. So I took the job. I never look back, but one of the things, one of my biggest accomplishments being affiliate president at the time is the birth of my daughter. Camille is a special child, meaning that she is very knowledgeable and aware of her surroundings, right? I remember, man, it's about a year or so ago, I went to take her to school. And I walked into a class, and this was the first time I was meeting a teacher. And she said, "Miss Brown, this is my daddy." Right? She said, I'm sorry. She said, "Miss Brown, this is my daddy. He is blind, but he can do anything anybody else can do." She said that. And of course I choked up a little bit. And but that's my rule, dog, there. No one's gonna tell me that I can't raise my child. That's not gonna happen. But she's awareness for the Federation. Our daughter comes to the meetings. She's very helpful at 4 years old. So I want to thank the Federation, right, for my confidence. I would not be able to be a blind parent and a confident blind parent without the Federation. Plain and simple. Camille.
Got her earphones on. Daddy, I've heard this before. I've been to a couple conventions.
That's amazing.
I want to put my headphones on. Being a blind parent. She is just amazing. She allows daddy to do what he needs to do to be a parent. And she trusts me. And that's the key. She trusts daddy. Don't you trust daddy? She said, "Yes." Yes. Say yes, okay. And I just want to just thank you for trusting daddy, okay? And I love you very much. So that leads me to the Breakfast Club. For those of you who don't remember, back on September 4th, there's a very popular show called The Breakfast Club who had a segment on this show which dealt with, I guess, people who wanted to call in with their frustrations about life. So a young lady called in who happened to be blind, and she said, by the way, it is a radio show for those who don't know, and it's very popular. I mean, millions of people listen and watch the show. Okay, so a blind young lady called in, and she says, you know what, I'm frustrated because there are people who, when I tell them I'm a babysitter, they won't allow me or won't give me the opportunity to babysit their kids, right? So the host of the show, one named DJ Envy, other one named Solomon the God, says, well, you know, her name was Chelsea. Well, Chelsea, I wouldn't allow you to watch my child either. And so she said, why? He said, because you're blind, right? And so it's just, now I'm like tripping when I'm hearing this, because I'm quite honestly, just to let y'all, I was the first Federationist to hear this. I was the very first one, because once I heard it, I then turned to President Rick Abono and said, this was what happened on the Breakfast Club. But anyway, and so, can I hold this? Yeah. Okay, I feel like I'm singing now. So as the show goes on, they said, well, we want calls to call in. Would you allow a blind person to babysit your child, right? Now, of course, you have all these callers calling in, basically saying, hell no, no way. Oh, it was bad. But what upset me the most was that you didn't ask callers to call in who are blind, who watch their children, right? It became a big joke to them. Right? But again, the people who called in were your average, everyday worker. These are two DJs who are millionaires who have this misconception about blind people being able to watch children, right? But when you look back at it, you can't get too upset. But I'm going to tell you why. Hear me out on this one. You could tell that these two young men have never been around blind people. They've never been exposed to blind parents. So then when you talk about being a babysitter of their children, they're going to react the way they did, right? And what this told me is that this is why the Federation is important. To bring awareness to ignorance. To bring awareness to dispel the misconceptions and assumptions about blind people in general. Ladies and gentlemen, it is all hands on deck. We got a job to do, right? We got a job to do. Because if they were thinking this way and putting that stuff out there in the media, in airwaves, who was listening to them? Social workers, right? Judges, all kinds of folks. I want to say this. One of the things, and I mentioned this earlier, I never forget being in a national convention, and a person came to me, she said, Sean, you know, I don't feel I'm giving meaningful contribution to the Federation. I said, tell me, why do you feel that way? Well, I'm a single mom who has a full-time job and school part-time. I'm only able to give my dues, pay my dues. I participate in a few fundraisers, but that's all I'm able to do. I said, oh, that don't sound like you're not contributing to me. That sounds like you're doing what you have to do to help the organization, right? When you give, that doesn't matter if it's $5 for your dues or $10, wherever they are, or if you're giving $200 a month to the PAC plan. Contribution is contribution. Doesn't matter. We can go back to the civil rights movement. Everyone, right, played their part. there were people who only sat behind voter registration tables. There were people who only helped other individuals get to rallying sites. There were people who only marched. Let's be clear on this. Martin Luther King was a great man, but he couldn't have done it by himself. Let's be clear. And one thing I love about President Rick Abono and also Dr. Malvo, when he was he's immediate past president, of course, they made it clear they can't do their job without the membership. They said that, right? So there's no such thing as a meaningless contribution. Anything you do within this organization is extremely important. I always think about one Scott LaBar. When Scott was sort of applauded for helping a blind man get into school to be a chiropractor, Scott deflected that credit off the break. And he thanked two kinds of people. He thanked the federationists that came before him, but more importantly, he thanked the candy sellers, right? He thanked the people who sell candy bars. That's how important everyone is to the movement. A movement needs everyone. You can't have too many generals and not enough corporals. So I just want to let you all know, and I think this affiliate, look, the one thing I love about the Federation is this. We don't put other affiliates down. We don't put other chapters down. You know, we don't go around rallying who's the best and all this and that, right? But if you put me in the corner and you said to me, tell me, who would you put in your top five in terms of affiliates? It would be the Jersey affiliate. This affiliate is something else. It's a well-oiled machine. This is what it is. It runs well. And of course, leadership starts at the top. It starts at the top. And so, again, Joe, phenomenal job what you've done with this affiliate. One thing I know, sit down because someone had warned me they don't want a long, drawn-out speech. Okay, so I'm not going to do that. But one thing Joe does, and I notice, everyone has value to him in his affiliate. As a leader, you have to value everyone, from the new member to the member who's been in this organization for 20 years. I can tell, everyone means the same. He loves everybody in this affiliate. And this is why it's running so well. I want to conclude by saying this too. I failed to thank a couple people. First of all, I want to acknowledge Scott and Jim White. Now, let me say this. The staff members at the National Office, they're the reasons why the affiliates run the way they do, right? Now, keep in mind, Scott is head of Newsline. This has been a big recruiting tool to bring in federationists. In order for us to use that tool, Newsline has to work well. And Scott makes it work very well, right? He does a damn good job with the Newsline, and I'm just thankful for him. And of course, Jen, she's a little salty with me because I don't be turning in my donated services form. And she's the right-hand woman to Patricia Mauer and just keeps all of us on task before we go to conventions especially. And I'm just grateful to both of them for their hard work. Also want to acknowledge Carol Castellano. When I took over as president, I actually called her, and I can't remember what it was for, but I was at the Martin Luther King Library and I had to get some information. Matter of fact, Joe told me to call her. Right? Because he didn't know the answer. He said, well, call Carol Castellano, I'll give you a number 5. So I called her. And, she knew Don Galloway, actually. And so we just talked. And she talked about expectations of being a leader and talked about the Federation and talked about parents of blind children. And next thing you know, the library was closed. That's how long we talked. But I'll never forget, and she gave me, I made a speech a couple years ago. She came over and found me and gave me one of the biggest hugs and said, great job. And I will never forget that as long as I live. So, ladies and gentlemen, this affiliate, it just dawned on me in coming up here. It means a lot to me. Right? Many of you in this room have helped me a lot. And I just very thankful to you. I'm thankful to you for hosting my family. My daughter participated in a science event yesterday. Yeah. So this has been great. So again, ladies and gentlemen, let's go build the Federation. God bless you and take care.
National, state, and even my own. But that was the best one I've ever heard.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
Great. Sean, I have a gift for you. We talk about the Federation and who came before us. So in Jersey, most of the time, we talk about who's your Mount Rushmore favorite ball players or favorite movies or things like that. So we have photoshopped on Mount Rushmore our four presidents for your office. So
you can keep wonderful. Thank you, sir.
You got it, Mike. Can Carol come up? Oh, well, let's get a picture.
Photo op?
Yeah, photo op.
Photo
op. Oh, right. Ben's there.
Which way?
Oh, right. Like that.
Fuzzy Nico.
I got one more shout out. I want to shout out to my man David Vinatieri. Yes. Dave actually interviewed me on a podcast, and he was phenomenal. He's a phenomenal speaker. My goodness. New Jersey has a lot of phenomenal speakers anyway, but this dude is phenomenal. And I just want to acknowledge him and his lovely wife. Thanks. Woo!
For those of you who know Gerald Higgins, that's Gerald Higgins' brother is David Yantaris. Yeah. As Carol's coming up, let me tell you a quick story. I was working one day with Gerald. Her mom came, she came in, she goes, Joe, my mom sent you eggplant. Oh, I love eggplant, beautiful. Joni, baby, beautiful. I call her on the phone, I says, Joni, baby, beautiful. Eggplant's gorgeous, it's delicious. Her comment was this. I told Geraldine to throw it out or give it to Joe. We've had it for 3 days. Throw it out that top or give it to Joe. That's the love Joan has for me. Throw it out and give it to Joe.
Hey, Jane, come on up.
Jane.
She's not a call, Joe.
That's a story for another day.
Jane.
We need more excitement in this affiliate.
Okay, it is time. It's time for our award ceremony. But before we give the awards, I would like to just say a few words about our dear friend, Barbara Shallet, who passed away this week. Joe mentioned it before that she passed. Barbara was a Braille teacher extraordinaire. She made sure that her students learned not only the Braille code, but also how to type, how to read charts and graphs, and she truly wanted her kids to gain full tactile literacy. In a recent issue of our magazine, Future Reflections, our magazine for parents and teachers, there's an article that Barbara wrote on how to develop this skill in blind children. Barbara was the very first person my family met when Serena came home from the hospital as an infant. She came from the Commission for the Blind to start Serena's training in her blindness and independent skills. And so she has been in our lives for Serena's whole life. And we became colleagues and friends, as I know many in this room also did. And we would meet once a month at the diner, and we would discuss ideas and inventions and issues in the blindness field. Barbara was a true friend of the Federation and of parents and teachers of blind kids. She presented workshops at the state and national level. She helped plan Parents of Blind Children events. She taught the Braille course at the College of New Jersey to train teachers. She co-edited our Sounding Board newsletter for years. And she taught Braille at our Bill program. And I'm probably missing some of the many things that she did for us. And she continued to volunteer in countless ways to assist blind children and adults in the state. And she will be profoundly missed. So can we just have a moment of silence in Barbara's memory? Thanks. Okay, and now we're going on to the 2019 Raising Expectations Award. I am so happy to present this year's award this evening. This award was created to honor the work of extraordinary members of our own affiliate. This is only the fourth time we have presented it. The recipient of our special award this year is someone who has worked on behalf of the blind of New Jersey and the nation for almost 50 years. And believe it or not, he's still really young. I mean, I'm sorry, he or she. Our recipient has been a longtime member, officer, and leader, not only in our affiliate, but also in three others. The list of accomplishments of our recipient is long and remarkable. During the recipient's term as president of the Connecticut affiliate, he, or she, helped raise $150,000 from corporations and foundations for the establishment of Newsline. In our own state, our recipient has held many positions, most notably as a member of the Affiliate Board of Directors and as a member and president of his, or her, chapter. Also as a knowledgeable representative and team leader at the NFB's annual Washington Seminar, and as an active and valuable member of many committees. Our recipient also represents NFBNJ on the State Rehabilitation Council, currently serving as chair. Our recipient's exemplary career includes technology and administrative positions at IBM, DeWitt and Associates, ICANN Connect at the College of New Jersey, the Computer Center for Visually Impaired People at Baruch College, and as technology consultant in BNF Teaching and Technology. Now, by now, you might have guessed that our recipient is a he. And some of you might even have guessed his name. Our recipient grew up in Ocean Township with his brother and sister, who are here with us tonight. He She was educated in public schools with services from the New Jersey Commission for the Blind. And you won't be surprised at the list of his school, community, church, and leisure time activities. Wrestling, cross country, skiing, biking, watching the Yankees, reading, hanging out at the beach, serving in many roles at his church, including, of course, singing in the choir, and playing keyboard in a rock band. Yeah. Along with his lovely wife, our recipient loves spending time with family and friends, hosting a monthly church book club in their home, and traveling. My first memories of meeting our recipient involved gathering around the piano at National Convention and harmonizing our unofficial state song, Under the Boardwalk, at state conventions. Over the years, our recipient became an inspiration, a role model, a trusted mentor, and a friend to our family, always willing to share his experience, expertise, and thoughtful advice. Our recipient is a remarkable person, and my guess is that virtually everyone in this room has been a beneficiary of his generous spirit, his thoughtful analysis of issues, and his wonderful laugh. I can't remember one time he ever said no to anything we've asked of him, including when I asked him to appear on stage in a grass skirt and coconuts. It would be impossible to count the number of people he has assisted, and we are all enriched by his presence in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, the recipient of this year's Raising Expectations Award is Rick Fox. National Federation
you're
of
right,
the...
He's always right.
The National Federation of the Blind of New Jersey, live the life you want, you make it happen, presents the Raising Expectation Awards to Rick Fox in recognition of invaluable contributions to the quality of life of the blind of New Jersey and the nation. Your contribution is measured not in steps, but in miles, not by individual experiences, but by the impact you have had on the lives of the blind. Whenever we have asked, you have answered. We call you our colleague with respect. We call you our friend with love. Together with love, hope, and determination, we transform dreams into reality. November 9th, 2019, from the grateful members of the National Federation of Blind. Yeah.
It is humbling and a great gift to receive recognition from people that I love and respect, and from an organization who has been a second family to me for over 40 years. This organization has the values that I learned from my family. The pursuit of excellence, high expectations, hard work. But as only the Federation can, it has taught me the beauty of a loving community and the importance of giving back when people have helped me so much when I needed it. So we are an optimistic organization. And as Sean has said, when we encounter problems, we don't just gripe. We figure out how to solve them. And we have faith that our hard work will eventually produce results. And that is optimism and realism in the best mix. And so I thank all of you for your respect. I love and respect you all. And remember, with love, hope, and determination, we will work together and we will make our dreams come true. Thank you very much.
One second. So Carol said that the theme song for New Jersey was Under the Boardwalk. So prophetically, after we practiced it at my home a couple of Sunday mornings with bagels, this verse is for Rick. Let's see if I can remember it now. We dedicate this song to our very special honoree. For almost 50 years, he's shown love to the NFB. It's Rick Fox, our go-to guy. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Now here's why. Everybody say Rick Fox, ready? And Rick Fox, he's always ready to go.
Rick Fox,
with any techie demo.
Rick Fox.
His music really rocks.
Rick Fox.
Thinking her out of the box.
Rick Fox.
Rick Fox.
You heard James sing that song?
No.
You heard him say, heard her say, think outside the box. Rick, I have for you a box with a brain on it, say, think outside the box. Now, another gift I have for you, Rick did not retire after he taught me some technology. It was a challenge for Rick to teach me some technology. That's funny, Mary. You forgot about it. Well, Rick, little do you know that this gift bag is my 1996 Technics make with tactile dots on it for you to keep. The battery's dead, but I'm alive. Thank you, Rick. Let's hear it for Rick Fox. Now we're going to have some scholarship awards, and Ellen gets some door auction stuff ready. To pay for this, we need to raise some money. That works. Oh, David, you know that. Tomorrow at our Sunday meeting, tomorrow's meeting will be in this room. Breakfast will be in this room. Tomorrow we'll give you a choice of time to start the meeting.
8:45
or 8:45.
Good evening, Federation family. Can we hear me?
Yes.
Cool. Okay. I'm going to try to not do the thing that I keep hearing everybody grumble about, which is talk very loudly, which all of the Ed students and staff in the room know is not a problem I ever have. If I can get all the scholarship recipients up here at the podium.
Get your cameras ready, Mom and Dad. Oh, that's my
book.
Sorry.
Yes. Cameras ready, take lots of pictures. My makeup looks fantastic. So, you know, if you. In case, just in case. Yeah. Okay. So. I am incredibly proud of this year's scholarship class. But before I go on about all their fantastic accomplishments, I do want to just speak very briefly, and I mean real brief, not Leah brief, about how important it is to support the scholarship recipients and to contribute to the scholarship. For those of you who heard David and I speak the other day, you got to hear me wax poetic about how the scholarship is how we build the Federation. This is an investment in the future of the organization, and it is remarkably important that we continue to support this scholarship fund is how the Federation continues to grow. And for the first time in my life on one subject, that is all I will say. So, yeah, brevity is not... the strong suit of the plane. So, all right. So, with that, so I will get started with introducing you to the class, the scholarship class of 2019. So, the first recipient. So, I will say, for those of you who don't know, I am an EDGE staff member, and so I happen to know a few of these students through the EDGE program. Don't worry, I am not biased, of course. I would have given me all the money. But but it does mean that I've gotten to watch a lot of these students grow in really amazing ways. So the first scholarship recipient is someone that I came to know in the last year. And she... Oh, I should have done the they thing. No, yeah, whatever. Here we are. So... I have seen tremendous growth in this person in the last year. And while I am certainly not, I am a social worker, so things like math and science were not ever my strong suits, and I deeply admire anyone who, who can manage, who really likes it. It's not just managing. I could manage math, sort of. People who have a passion for the STEM fields, I deeply admire, especially young women, because I know the STEM field is not an easy place for them. So I am proud to announce the recipient of the Klaus and Michelle Zechner STEM scholarship is Natasha Ishak, a freshman physics major at the College of New Jersey. Oh,
hi everyone. Very quick story since I have 60 seconds apparently.
You're fine.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Leah. I got Leah on my side, it's cool. So I just want to say something. I have never seen my dad cry before. He's not here today, so that's why I get to talk about him. I've never seen my dad cry, nor have my brothers, nor has my mom. At least I thought that was true. About half a year ago. she had told me that she actually had, in fact, seen my father cry. And my dad's one of the most strongest individuals I have ever met, and that I know. He actually is a scientist. He came from humble beginnings, and he worked his way up. So for me to even hear that something was able to break him was quite extraordinary. And what had actually broken him was finding out about my eyesight. It was when he and my mom learned about my condition where for the first time he had actually broken. And unfortunately, the people who should have been there weren't. We had family, friends. None of them were there really for my parents when they first learned about my eyesight. And unfortunately, a lot of them still aren't here today in support. So I'm fortunate enough that my parents chose to believe in me and not listen to what everybody else around them was saying about how I wouldn't be successful and I would not be able to essentially amount to anything because of my disability. I come from a background and a culture where disability, and that includes blindness, is severely frowned upon. Questions that were asked when I was born by those around my parents were, how is she going to get married? How is she going to go to school? None of that's going to happen for her. And I've heard plenty of things growing up along those lines as well. And I've consistently been faced with always trying to justify odds. And over the last couple of years, it's essentially really started to build up. And sometimes, even when you know that you don't need to listen to those voices, you still listen to them. And then I met Joe Ruffalo, NFB. And he essentially kind of started believing in me a little more than I believed in myself. So thanks, Joe. And so this award is severely appreciated simply because it kind of came at a time when I needed it to come.
Yay! Yay!
The next scholarship recipient is another student that I have known for a little bit, but this student, see, I got it right this time, no gender, started as an Edge intern, and this is where I got to know them, and got to see their fantastic work ethic and their commitment to not just, you know, being a good college student and intern, but their actual commitment to the blindness field and the community. And so I am very happy to say that the 2019 recipient of the Louise and Peter Puccini Memorial Scholarship is another TCNJ student, senior communications major, Jonathan Zobek.
I just hold a couple words. So here goes nothing. Thank you.
You know, if the people at the head table have more to say than the student, we're gonna run out of time real quick. Whatever. Another student that this one I've known for a lot longer, from when I was a summer staff member. We're ignoring the head table. Summer staff member of the Life 101 program at the commission. I met this student when he was a baby, and he's still a baby as far as I'm concerned. But I have been really proud to watch the student's growth over the last 4 years, and I'm sure he's going to do wonderful things, and I'm sure he's going to continue to be an amazing pillar of the community in the future. So I am very happy to say that the Anne-Marie Cook and Doug McRae, also known as the Edge Scholarship Award for 2019, is going to Henry Young.
I don't have anything prepared, and I don't think I can quite beat Natasha's speech. So, I suppose the best way, because it is an Edge scholarship, I don't feel as guilty talking briefly about Edge. When I first, I could just like 10 words, it was very short. When I first came in, I came in wearing a ripped jeans, a t-shirt that said, had a Viking on it and said, remember, pillage and burn. And a blue hoodie, and I ended it giving another horribly long speech, except this time in a tux. And I think nothing best represents the change that the NFB and Edge and other blindness organizations have helped me gain in terms of confidence and becoming, Leah said, a pillar of the community and becoming more involved both in school and not than that. So.
So our next scholarship recipient is a national scholarship winner. Yep. See, now the crowd gave it away. There is not enough I can say about this scholarship recipient, except that I'm very, very proud that we've got a fellow Red Hawk up here. Nobody else will cheer for the Red Hawks except for me. I won't even, so, you know. All right, so. I am proud to announce that the winner of the Tara Carty Memorial Scholarship and winner of one of this year's national scholarships is junior at Montclair State University, Amy Albin.
The first person who called me and asked me to join NFB was our president, Joe Ruffalo. Thank you. But the first person who told Joe Ruffalo my name was Barbara Shallon, who was my TBI. So I will miss her, and I'm deeply sorry about her passing, and she was someone who really believed in the Federation, and I hope to carry that tradition forward. Thank you.
Good job.
Okay, last but not least, I'm sure you've all heard her multiple times throughout the day because who couldn't hear her from Route 1? I get to rip on her forever. She is one of my dear friends and one of my bridesmaids. So again, I get to rip on her forever. A second year MBA student at Duke University. I am sure this girl is going to change the world one day. The winner of the Gail and Tom Perry Memorial Scholarship, Mary Fernandez.
Hi, everyone. Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much. This is an incredible honor. I have to start by thanking my mom, who is in the audience. Everybody cheer. Yara is her name. Her book will be coming out shortly. We're working on it. But my mother has, I was born in Colombia, and my mom came here when I was two, and I went blind while she was here, and she was all of 26 when she came to the United States. And when she was told that I was blind, her reaction wasn't, I need to go back. It was, I have to bring her here because this is the only way that she's going to have a future. And even though my mother didn't really have the privilege of having Federation, because at the time we didn't have a lot of support for Spanish speakers, something that I'm really passionate about in the Federation that we're doing now, her thing is, you can do it, baby. Go ahead. I've ever said to her, like, I want to do this. She's like, go ahead, baby. You can do it. And I just, I will never, I can never thank her enough for all her sacrifices and what she has done for me. So thank you. And thank you to this Federation family for believing in me and Joe Ruffalo for, when I was 14, telling me to advocate for myself, like, hey, you want to do a NASA thing? There's Mark Riccobono, go talk to him. I'm like, okay. So thank you. And I am so honored to be standing with this class of scholarship winners, because this is it, y'all. We are, it's up to us now. And it is our job to continue the work that has been laid forward for us. And there is a lot of work to be done as I'm entering into corporate America and to places that blind immigrant women are not seen. It's become very clear to me that we have a lot of work to be done. And it is now our job to make sure that we are reaching our hands constantly outward to bring up the next person who will be the future. So thank you very much. All right, can we hear it one more time for the 2019 scholarship?
Now, everyone, all our Amy is up here. Okay, stay right there. All our scholarship winners will receive $1,000 each. Now, will receive. What does that mean? That means you have to write a thank you note to Leah. Leah will forward it to those who sponsored your scholarship. We'll collect all of them. We'll put them into our newsletter. We used to not do that. We used to give them their $1,000. This group would have never done this, I'm sure. But we used to give them $1,000 and ask for a thank you note, and about 3 years later, they get a thank you note. So now we did it this way. Going home in the car, they send a note via email. They want that check the next day. So just send it to Leah, and we'll get you your check. And then we'll give you the email address of the donor so you can thank them too.
Half of them are probably on their phone right now. Are you doing it?
Yeah, probably.
That's the way to do it.
Now be a compassionate one. We're gonna reprint these with your name on them. So they'll just say, thank you, give me the money. we heard last night at our fund and stuff, Amy Alvin did some we're doing our sing along or karaoke. Amy wrote a song about the Federation and about the convention, and it was so good, I said, you have to sing it at the banquet for those who weren't there last night. So, Amy, I'm going to hand you the microphone.
Right in. So, Amy! Woo!
So, our theme this year is Live the Life We Want, We Got This. So, I decided to call this song, We Got This. We're working for a new world, working for a new age. We're gonna work for a fair wage. Being blind is not a tragedy. We're living with dignity. We are the NFP, yeah, we got this. So many people telling us no, but they don't know that with our braille, our canes, our hearts, and our brains will make it so. With our knowledge and skill, our wish and our will make it so. Oh, oh, oh. We're working for a new world, working for a new day when we can have children who won't be taken away. We don't need eyesight to live a full life. This is a human right. Oh yeah, we got this.
Scholarship winners, Amy Alvin, Tasha, Mary, Henry, and Jonathan. and all those who will come after you, all you students in the audience, apply for the National Scholarship. You apply for the National Scholarship, it automatically makes you a candidate for a state scholarship. The scholarships are out. They're online as we speak, as of November 1. The deadline is always March 31st at midnight. And I usually get about 14 letters to write March 30th. So if you got to do this, vacation's coming up, look at, see what you need to do, and get them in quickly. Quickly. Thank you. Okay. Now it's time to raise some money. Excellent. That was super. And this time it was on, we streamed it. And we got some calls from my son, who is in California watching this stuff. And he said, super job. Okay. Ellen, bring some stuff up. Nikki, the microphone is yours. We do take money. We do take money that's green. We do take money if you had to launder it, and the Italians out there to launder their money, we'll take that too. I've laundered money before. My wife puts $5 in her pocket. Mac Biggers here? Matt Biggers. All right, way over there. Well, we got to take some people want to know if we're going to take credit cards. Is that true? He said yes. So there's no limit, Mary. Go for it.
Mom's here. Mom has a credit card. Right, Mom?
Okay, we got some.
Mom's here. Let's go, Mom. Come on, Mom. Mary's mom.
We need an opening bid of $5 for Mary's mom to say, Ruffalo. Speak into the microphone. You gotta speak loud in the microphone.
This is nice. First, the mic is worse. First, so we're going to start bidding off $30.
What about a color? Can you describe it?
And the color is white.
Thank you.
Which one is the Michael Kors purse? It's a white leather Michael Kors purse. It was small. You can dangle down the side of your opponent. It's just.
And Mary, the white pocketbook goes well in California when you're working out there all year long. Jen White said 50. Who's that? Somebody just said 100. Who just said 100?
Pacini
says 100. I heard that one from over here. It's a gorgeous bag.
So most of your purses you buy from Michael
Kors. It's not an old bag.
You got to speak into the microphone. Bite that mic.
Most of the purses you buy from Michael Kors, they start at $200. So at least.
All right, we have Dan Pacini for 100. Do we have 100 and a quarter? Mike, Nick, you take over.
$100 from Dan Pacini for this beautiful bag. $100. We're here 105. $100 going once.
Dan's gonna love that bag.
Rose is watching that bag right now.
$100 going 3 times. Sold to Dan.
We gotta move these quick. Move them quick. Wine and cheese biscuit, Mary. Wine and cheese biscuit.
Wine and cheese biscuit. 2 minutes. Can I get $25 to start? $25.
No, you got to say, here's what you need. You need to say your name and then the bid. Name and bid. Dina Terrace, 25.
Dina Terrace, 30. We already got
25. Oh.
Dina Terrace, 30. Box 30.
Yeah. Well, they got 30. Nobody listens here, everybody.
$35.
Fox, $35.
$40 for Jeannie.
Keep going, Rick. Keep going, Rick.
$50 for Jeannie. $50 for Dan Pacini. Do I hear 55?
I don't hear it.
I have $50 for Dan Pacini. Go once. Do I hear 55?
No.
50 going once. Twice. Sold to Dan Pacini.
Hey, Dan. Dan Pacini. To save time, you bought the first two items. There's 15 left. Write a check for $5,000 and take it all.
A halo that will charge all your devices. Figures $20.
Fox 30.
Fox 30.
Figures
40. Figures 40. We'll charge your iPhones. We'll charge everything. We'll charge you up tonight.
Fox 50.
50 for Fox. Figure 60.
I'm out of it.
Figure 70. Who's that? Figure 70. Figure 80. We got $80 for figures. We got $80 for this thing. We'll charge everything. We'll charge them up to date. Mary Jo, $95 for Mary Jo. $100 for figures. He's charged up.
And he works. And just the
time. We have $100 going once. $100 going twice. Sold for $100. We have a group. Okay, so we have a quilt. If we need to show it, anybody want to see it?
What is it?
It's a queen size quilt.
Set.
What color you ever wanted?
For those who can read 16-point or higher, on your table is a list of auction numbers. So maybe, Nikki, you can announce what letter it is, and then someone could read it. So this way, you have all the details.
Good idea.
But say the details anyway.
Item number one.
Item Y.
Seven-piece quilt set.
Oh! Seven-piece.
Absolutely lovely. Queen-size comforter.
Blue and white. We'll show it around if anybody wants to see it.
Queen-size.
Donated by Joe and Judy.
No, actually, it was donated by Judy's cousin. So
we have an opening bid of $40.
Yes, for 40.
Woo! So we only have a bid of 40. Yes, for 45.
No, Winton 45.
All right. Do we have $50 here? Who's it? Angela, $50 from Angela. We have $50 from Angela for the 7-piece quilt set. Item Y on your table. On your table set, on your tables. We have $50 for this beautiful quilt set. 7 pieces. $50. What do we have?
White 55.
60. We have $60. Angela.
Come on, Jen.
We have $60 from Angela. $60 going once.
65.
We have. 70 from Angela. She's waiting for this quilt set. She knows how beautiful it is. She wants $70 going once. $70 going twice. Total danger for $70.
This one is if you go somewhere and you get an item like a cup of
good. What's
the name?
Oh,
Later on.
Both sides can't be soaked in print. Oh, you said R.
R, just go, go.
Just describe it.
So this one is, Chlorine. So you would go in there, you pay for the setting, you sit there, and then when you forget items, they're going to get caught. You eat it, they're going to count for you. So you get a 3-year worth of the city money, and then all you is going in to put your one out and give you that item. And it's worth $180.
Opening bid, what do we have?
I don't know.
Oh, open away from the city.
We have $20 in victory. It's worth $180. $25 for Dan Pacino.
I don't live here.
We have $25 for Dan Pacino. $25 for Dan Pacino.
What is it? What is it?
Sonia, they cannot hear you. You have a very lovely soft voice. Make believe you're yelling at Mac. Dinner's on the table. Yell. We can't. It's all muffled. Nick, your mic is, but just shut one of those mics off and use your mic, Nick, the one that came off of the keyboard. Or bring it up here, wait, it's better.
This is letter E, letter E. I'm just going to read it to you so you understand what it is.
The Senior Technology Division. It's a gold bag. The bag is a red canvas Everest backpack filled with emergency items, including flashlights and batteries, radio and more batteries, glow stick, poncho, and blanket, and more. Jamie, I hear you laughing.
That's very loud.
So we have an emergency backpack here. Everything that you need. What do you need to get through this convention floor? What time is breakfast?
8:45.
No, breakfast is early. The meeting starts at 8:45.
It's an emergency.
Winton, $30.
Who's that? Winton. Winton says 30. We have $30 for this emergency backpack. $30 for this emergency backpack. $30 going once. Twice.
$40. G-Fox.
$40.
G-Fox. $40.
Gary Fox.
What? Gary G. Same difference.
$40 for Gary Fox.
$45 Whitten.
$45 Whitten.
We take it serious. Fox says,
paddles up.
45?
Yes.
45 going on.
Winton.
Twice. Winton. We have $50 for Linda Melendez. $50 going once. Twice. So the Linda Melendez.
We finally got rid of that. We had it 3 years ago. We finally got rid of that.
Come on
up,
David.
What do you mean? Hold on.
Tell your wife, see you later.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
selling,
We're all so big in here. Who's ready for Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving.
We've got a gourmet grocery basket donated by Shopra.
One letter.
Move the amplifier.
You would use for pumpkin pie, the spices that would go into the pumpkin pie, like ginger, nutmeg, cinnamon. There's a chocolate turkey and paper plates that you would use for dessert.
You have an opening bid of $30. Who wants a chocolate turkey? Everybody loves chocolate turkey.
Martini,
that's Martini. Yeah, that's Martini.
55 going once. 55 going to Janet?
No.
Did you say something? You know, people in Hawaii love turkeys. Talking turkeys in Hawaii, very popular. Yeah, come on. No? No. 55 going once. 55 going twice. So, 55. Oh, what do we got next? Very nice cheese basket, cheese and wine basket in a bowl. Let's see here. Let's have a sip of this. Let's have a sip. This is a delicious. Oh, you're gonna cook in this bowl. There's olives in this. It's a nice big metal bowl. There's olives, wine, cheese, pepperoni, and other surprises. I'm not able to get into the other surprises, but you know, let your imagination run wild for a minute. This would be sushi with that cooked turkey. Come on, you are here an opening bid of
$25.
I need another bid. 30. Right. I need something. 30. Who's that? Brianna from South Carolina.
Yes.
South Carolina. We're doing 35 from Massachusetts. We're gonna have an international. We're gonna get more going. 40 from South Carolina. Oh my God. South Carolina. Now they don't even have wine in South Carolina. I don't even know if they have cheese. 45 Massachusetts. Massachusetts says 45. All right, 45 for Massachusetts. 45. Wine and cheese. You know what you can do with this tonight? You can drink it. That's what you can do. Fernandez, $50. Mom, you got the credit. Mom's got the credit card. $60 going once. $60 going twice. $60 for Mr. Funk Valley. Thank you, Mr. Funk Valley. Oh, Marianne's gonna read this here. This is something Dan Pacini wants. This, okay? I'm telling you right now, Dan's gonna bid every the lick in his pocket. He's gonna bid on this. What's in this, man? The potpourri.
Potpourri basket.
Elegant women, Dan. Elegant women. And whatnots. Ooh, now listen, I'm not even allowed. Joe said, Dave, whatever you do, don't talk about the whatnots. So I'm not even allowed to talk about the whatnots. But, you know, you could just imagine what's nots and have nots and has and have nots and whatnots. Potpourri, I would say this basket at least has got to start at $25. You're opening to $25. Potpourri. Listen, I've led this convention a long time, and there is a bunch of people who stink. And this will be fantastic. I don't know if it's the shoes, if it's the socks, I don't know. What is this? 25? Who's that? Yes, V, 25. Sometimes, you know, sometimes those state buildings stink. I worked in a lot of state buildings and musty in the bathroom. You know, they work at the desk, they take their shoes off. Put your shoes on, I'm going to say. What are you doing? Taking your shoes off at work. Be ashamed of yourself. $25 for me. You look, I don't want to offend anybody. You might not stink, but I know you know somebody who does. Right? You know, now I'm not going to point at any fingers, because it's not nice to point fingers. But you know as well as I do, and you might be sick with them. And they stink, and they make them believe it's the dogs. They say, no, I took something off the table. No, it's you. So, $25 for me, do I hear 30? I need a 30. The guy from Hawaii. What do you mean? The guy from Hawaii. Yeah, no, I don't want to be offended. $25 going twice.
Then
you're going to smell the best of anybody in this room. Then congratulations. All right. What do you got next?
Add it to my tab.
Vera Brandley. I used to shop at Brandley's. Travel bag. And Joe, I think Judy wants it. No, you can't
what
see it.
What color is it?
What color?
What's the opening bid?
What color is it?
$187. What color is it there?
It's flowers.
I didn't even have to go with it. It's purple flowers with a green background. Isn't that sound lovely? They're rushing me now, Joe. Tell them to slow down.
Ruffalo 100.
We got a beautiful purple flowered bag. below $100. Vera Bradley, right? This you don't get this, you don't get this at JCPenney's, right? No way.
It's Vera Bradley?
We got the Bradley, so.
The lady Vera, I work at Bradley, so. 120 Ruffalo.
120 Ruffalo, he's been here. Get yourself. Here's the team. The team. What do we got? Where's Jen White when you need her? Going once. Lunch money for Joe Ruffalo. Yeah! He's gonna put this on the trophy in his bag. He's gonna be
luxurious baths. which we need more of in this world for de-stressing. There is a Live Your True Essence book from Rosa Santiago. So this basket is amazing, I'm telling you. So let's get up in here, baby. 100 dollars.
Right, thank you, Rosa. Good job. All right. So listen, Rosa said this is $100 value. It's in a nice, beautiful, box, and it's got all. It smells really fantastic. Lavender soap and Rosa bug certainly. Does anyone have $100? Wait, you're $100. What do we got? Look, we got to fund the Federation. It's in a great investment. What do you got?
Also, if you can't read the book, we get an e-form for you, so you can read the book as well.
You're so kind, Tony. Very good. Access equals success, right? Access equals success. Do I hear $50? Give me a 50. Vicker, 75. He's going to be smooth and polished. He's going to be so slippery, he might slip out of his shoes. Oh, he smells so good. He's gonna kiss himself. I hear 75, right? Do I hear an 80? I need 80. Give me an 80. Give me a nice round number, 80. Do I hear 80? What's that?
You.
Me? Oh, I said 80, but I was a job busy. Do I hear an 80? I need 80. An 80. 75 going once. 75 going twice. I need 80. Come on. One person. Give me an 80. Who wants to smell good? Yeah. 80 going 75 going once. 75 going twice. 75. All right, friend. Thank you, man. We can do a little polished up. Polish your shoes. Yes, ma'am. I thought you were saying Mork and Ork. Remember that show, Mork and Ork? But that was an old show. Oh, that was Mork and Mindy, right? Oh, is that what that was? Mork from Ork? Oh, wow, I don't know. Mork and Mindy. Oh, okay. Do I have an opening bid? Give me an opening bid. Yes, ma'am. It's black. It's coming around the table. Oh, 30 opening bids in Massachusetts. $30 opening. Oh, that's 40. I hear 40. 50. 50. Maryland. 50. 55. Massachusetts. 60 Vickers. 60 Vickers. I need a 70. 70. Maryland. Jen White. 80. 80. 80 from Vickers. I need a 90. $200 value. $90. Right? Half 30 there yet. $90.
Come on, Pete. You got this. You work now.
Dan wants to see.
They don't pay
any
enough.
Oh.
We're still passing it around.
We're passing it around. It does. That is it. What? Yes. Yes. 90 from Jen White. $90. Jen White. Pass it over to the next table. Here, we're at $90. I'm $9. You want to touch it? It's $100. Touch it? It's $100. You want to touch it? It's $100. Dan, touch it? It's $100. Yep. We're at $90. We're at $90. It's a $200 value, not including the Uno cards. Not including unicorns. $90. $90 going once. $95 for Puccini. I knew it. He's going to put that chocolate turkey in there. He's filthy. He can't do that. $95. All the cords, too.
Oh, my God.
Big as 100.
Oh, my God.
Big as 100. 105 for Dan. The man's a cheat. Come on. Come on, Jen. Big as 110. 115. Come on, Bill, 115 going once. I need 120. 120 for Bigger. I need a 125. 125 for Pachini. He's going to put the turkey in it. Oh, my God. Just take it 50 in. 135. I need a 150. I need a 150. Who's leaving me 150? I need a 150. 140. I said 150. I'll take the 140. 140. 145. 150. I told you 150. Come on, Mary. Come on. Where's the guy from Hawaii? He needs a purse. Right? I thought everybody in Hawaii had a nice purse. Yeah, no? No? Okay. I thought you were a comedian, right? No, no. Yeah, a comedian doesn't have a purse. What comedian doesn't have a purse? So we have 2.5. 160. It's a $200 value or 150. We're a $200 value, not including Uno cards. 150 going once. And 150 going twice.
Sold for 150. Woo! Yeah. Woo! 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 Color Be Mine is Painting Yourself Ceramic Studio. This is a year membership. It's a month for two. It's $150 value. So you should pick out whatever you want to paint. You paint it, they fire it, and then you take it home.
Fire? Who's getting fired? All right. That pissed me off better than that. Okay, now. Okay, now. Now, who donated this very cool gift? Central Jersey Chapter. Central Jersey Chapter. So this is a $150 value for two, and this is a really neat gift for somebody. This is, well, if you were listening, you would have heard, but you weren't. So it is for two, and it is a paint your own ceramic kit, and
also you get the year membership, and all you do is walk into the store, pick out what you want to color, and you pay for that. That's it. It's called Color Me Mine. They have it in other states, so there could be other places.
$150 value, and I'd love to get a starting bid of $40. Well, here, $40 for Bigger, $50 for Pachini, $60, $70. Do they even have stuff you can paint in Hawaii? Seashells, right? You paint seashells there. But no, this is different. This is the real world here. And you paint the bowls and the wires. Yeah, but now, what are we up to? $80. $150 value. We're not even two-thirds there. $85. Good job, $85. We're gonna paint stuff. We're gonna have a great day. We'll paint our toenails. We'll paint them whatever we want. We get there. $85 going once. The back of Hawaii doesn't want it. $85 going twice. Massachusetts? No. Maryland, South Carolina. $85 going twice. Sold for $85. You can think the chocolate turkey, Dan. This is going to be the best. Yes, if you're also staying home with essential oils, you can pay the turkey. This is very special.
You're welcome. I just want to say, like you remember that gentleman that sang sang the songs in our meetings today, the Bosca songs. Well, he's an artist in Tom's River, and he does Sharpie artwork. And I am gonna, if anybody can see that work, it's incredible. It's hard to believe that a blind person painted it. But we know you can live the life you want and do live beyond your expectations. It's Jerry Fontanelli.
Mr. Fontanelli!
$100, and that's from Ellen.
Oh! We're starting at $100 for Ellen.
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Can you describe any of the pictures, Miss Ellen?
All I know is that I showed my sister some of the artwork, and she said, this is incredible.
David,
I
love
flowers. David, could you describe them? Would you,
Carol, would you? So this is a framed piece of art, and it has 9 sketches of flowers, little sketches put together to make one big piece of art. It's probably about 15 by 18, something like that. And the flowers are in pink, purple, and red, and yellow, with green leaves, which is really very, very pretty and charming. It's thinly framed in a beautiful beaded frame.
That would look really lovely.
And so it's probably a 15 by 20 frame. What color frame, Carol?
Black with tarnished silver
beading. Black with tarnished silver beading. And we have a starting bid of $100. And this is, Mr. Fontanelli, thank you so much for this. So this is a piece of art that you're gonna cherish for a long time. We have a opening bid of a $100 for Ellen. Can I have a one? I hear 125. Do I hear 125? It's a beautiful piece of art. Ellen started at $100. We have an opening bid of $100 for Mr. Fontanelli. Mr. Fontanelli, I was sat with him tonight at dinner. He was telling me some fantastic jokes, none of which I can tell you. But if his jokes, the picture that he's got, the jokes, I'm sure it's lovely. $100, starting at $100, do I hear 125? Do I hear 125? 110 Castellano. 110 Castellano. 110 Castellano. Do I hear 120? Do I hear 120? 120 for Ellen. 120 for Ellen. Beautiful. Well, thank you. 120. Do I hear 130? 130. I need 130. Mr. Pop Ellen's wonderful piece of art. It's going to go in your house. You're going to give it, it's going to be a family heirloom, I guarantee it. 125 Castellano. The bidding war is on, Joe. 125. Ellen, help me out. 130 for my friend Ellen. 130, Carol. It's starting to hurt. It's starting to hurt. Open.
And how did I get roped into this? Yeah, just so, right?
What about the Wegmans?
Oh, but wait, there's more.
What about the Wegmans gift card?
The Wegmans gift card? What do we got here, lady?
Okay, this is a basket, and in the basket is they're from Testing Hills, scented the vanilla almond bubble bath foot lotion, body scrub, body butter. Yes, the butter plush slippers, shower massager, foot pumice, and sponge.
You want the foot hummus. Oh, now we've got a voice. Massachusetts says 40.
Yeah, for 50.
Oh, $50. You're gonna smell so good. That's made from the States. She's gonna smell so good. That is so good.
Yes! It will change my life!
Carol.
I mean,
oh my God,
I got a picture here. I got a picture, a framed picture.
Push it up, David.
Of Joe Ruffalo. Oh. And what is I don't know if I dare to ask. Joe, what are you doing in this picture? I think he's in the bathtub.
Is he wearing
the slippers and the butter in the bathtub, and he's never looked happier. And he's got the turkey vision. That's why he looks so happy. And look up, he's got the chocolate turkey. This is art, folks. He's in a suit. He's in a suit. His bathroom.
Oh my God! Oh,
he's in his birthday suit.
Oh,
get the hoodie tie. Joe, it's this picture of Joe wearing a hoodie tie.
Carol, gonna beat Carol. Let's see.
Going twice. Carol, thank you very much.
So this is the Ruffalo Family Motivational Books. Two books by Rick Ruffalo and the one and only famous Joe's Joe book.
Joe's Joe book and motivational
book. Oh, we got three books in here. We got three books in here. With the motivational trio, we got a joke. What do you got?
Mary Jo 50.
$50, Mary Jo. Wow, well, there's a lot of jokes in here. That's like $1 a joke. Come on, $50. Are you 60? Are you 60? You got the slippers, you got the picture of Joe, now you got a joke for it. $60. Are you 60? $50 going once. $50 going twice, Mary Jo. What? $60 over there. Who said that?
Jennifer.
65. Woo! There's a lot of good jokes in here. Great stuff. Three books.
$70.
$70. Good job.
75.
75. 75. You're 80.
80.
Give me 80. 85. We'll take 85. Over 90. 90. 90 over there.
Well,
you're 105. So, congratulations. A blood pressure cuff that talks. Now listen, I'll tell you one thing I know about Joe Ruffalo. He doesn't have high blood pressure, he causes it. And it's not legal. This thing will persecute in two languages. At least, this is certainly, at least this is a $40 value. This is a great device. It talks, it's going to tell you your blood pressure as well as your pulse. And if you buy with the butter, it's your blood pressure. So, can I go to the 25? Can you shine? 25.
30.
30. 30, 20, 35. You 35. 40 Daddy Shine, thank you. 40 Daddy Shine.
45.
45 Massachusetts. 50 Daddy Shine, keep it going. This is a great device. All those people who cause high blood pressure, you want to prove it. Here, put this on. $50. $50 going once. Anybody, $50 going once. $50 going twice. So, this one's for your wrist. It's definitely smaller. This is for your wrist. I say opening bid, starting bid, $20. It's a blood pressure wrist cup.
Yep.
So this. Yeah, this is by Lingo City. $20 start bid. Go here 25. Who are you? 20, 25, 20, 25. See. It's your blood pressure too. Blood pressure too, right? Yes, blood pressure. Wrist, blood pressure. Go here 25. What's your 25? Well, you're 20. I didn't know if it was good. was that? $20. $20 going twice. Sold. $20. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Good job. It's a great deal. We got a who likes Alexa? I got a fire stick with Alexa. Yes, I do. You wouldn't believe it if I you wouldn't believe it. All right, I got a fire stick with Alexa. I'm just checking. You want to see first? All right, fire stick with Alexa. This is great. We love Alexa. It makes everything so much easier. It really makes things easy to use for folks who use assistive tech. Do I have an opening bid of $30?
$30.
This is at least a $60 purchase.
$30.
Who's that? We got a nice bag for the seeing up.
A water bottle holder.
We've got a hat.
A wallet. And a waterproof bottle just in case you step in the pool. I'm gonna save this for tomorrow. You have to be at the meeting tomorrow at 9:15 or 8:45. Which one, Jeff?
Quarter to nine.
Well, we gotta be at the meeting 9:15. That's everything.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a Wegmans
car. Yeah.
It's a Wegmans car.
We want the Wegmans car.
Wegmans car.
Oh, that one yesterday? With a jacket? What is it? Oh. Hey, Carol.